You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Anthony Olubumi Akinbola. Anthony, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Anthony, we're talking about your show, Camouflage, and I interviewed you once about another show a few years ago called Natural Beauty. That was in 2022. So now we're 3 years later, we're still at Sean Kelly, and we have Camouflage, which is an evolution, I imagine, in materials and approach. Can you tell me a little bit, before we jump right into the approach and maybe even shifting narratives, what's happened in your work between these two shows in the last 3 years that's brought you to this point? Has there been a shift in your use of materials or your approach?
I think, you know, a lot's changed and a lot stayed the same. I think in the past, you know, 2 to 3 years, I've honestly taken a break and I've worked on a couple of other projects, and like one of the shows I did, I didn't use the material at all, and I'd actually like been working a lot with leather and goat skins and furs and stuff like that. So, but while still kind of developing the textile practice and the work with the durags and, you know, seeing how I can still push that material, but from a way that wasn't really about presentation and more just like exploration or experimentation. And I think like some of that stuff is in the show, but yeah, I feel like sometimes taking some time away also kind of helps you like think on what you've been doing with the material.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what I'm so interested in now. So leather, goatskin, furs, how has those other projects, as you're saying, influenced this new work in Camouflage? Because yeah, as in the previous show that we discussed, this is the material is primarily durags, right? But how has those material experimentations, or not experimentations, but other projects in between, affected your approach to this material?
I think, I don't know, it's funny, right? In some sense, not at all. You know, they're like, they're really separate. But I think in maybe thinking about past shows I've done in ways in which, you know, I've shown and displayed this work, the context and the conversation being had changes from show to show. So I think the only thing that really kind of has the through line a lot of the time is the idea of like using this material that's very experiential. And in this show I've just done, it's been almost like a survey of the work, you know, over the past 9 years, all kind of like reworked or revisited or like developed, where you can see its origin, but I think it's just a little more coherent and it's clear. And I feel like that was only really a thing you can do after working for so long and then trying to like bring everything together in one show that is more about the idea of the practice versus maybe just like a specific theme of a show.
Yeah, I like that. That's so interesting. I mean, some of the way you've worked the materials, the images here, as I remember, have also changed a little bit, like brick, sandstone, right? That kind of configuration wasn't anything that I remember seeing, or not directly anyway, in the past show, right? There's a number of things here that I wanted to talk about, but to jump into that brick, sandstone, which is from this year, that's a slightly different meaning and scheme and way of working with the grid that you're sometimes working with, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know what, and that is kind of like the newest motif, I guess. But I think it comes from, I mean, it's, I don't know how much time we have, but it's like, if I'm putting it all together, right, like, part of me doing the show where I'm working with the goat skins and I'm working with wood, and a lot of this material that was coming directly from Nigeria or being made in Nigeria was specifically an attempt at me to reconnect, you know, with, like, my lineage, you know, with that legacy. I think about collaborating with my dad and being able to kind of, like, the shipment and the sourcing of material while I was in, you know, like, while I was here, and while I was in, like, process of working on the show. And kind of using his experience with, you know, he had worked, he's an artist, but he had also worked at a museum earlier on in his life when he was in Nigeria, and, like, has really been involved in, like, craft practices there. So it was a bonding experience, and him also kind of being able to also go back, because he's, you know, based in New York right now. And I just feel like it was the, you know, in that show, it might have been about production and commodification of, like, the natural world, but, like, I think on a deeper level, it was, like, me trying to, like, reconnect with my dad, you know, and we're doing that through this show. And then I start to think about these brick paintings, right, that also deal with, like, infrastructure and right. legacy and building, and, like, their monuments, and people build palaces after people. And I started to think about how can I speak to this urge and this feeling to, like, want to reconnect with family and talk about legacy and, like, think about mortality in a way that was also playing with color and playing with the material I was working with. So I think talking with you now and tracking it, it's like, okay, the feeling and my goal and what I experienced in the last show that was with a totally different material, I was able to still revisit it in this way, but through just, like, the simple presentation of, like, brick. What's it mean to build something strong, to build something that lasts? Is it always physical? A lot of the times, the clothing we wear, right, and the things we live in, they draw these parallels because they're also constructed. Like, you know, being able to construct a good pair of blue jeans that last. And I really liked all of the relationship that I started to notice between textile and, like, building or construction. I had also spent, like, a month doing a residency in Dakar, Senegal, and, you know, I believe it's one of the fastest, like, growing cities, you know, in urban development in Africa, and, you know, you see, like, buildings and high-rises and condos just, like, in process as you go everywhere. You see, like, a horse and buggy, like, pulling, like, rebar, you know, on, like, a flatbed. And it just was, like, also something. I didn't really have a goal of, like, oh, I'm going to make this while I'm in Dakar. It was more research, but it's something that stood out to me. I started then thinking about what's it mean to, like, maybe move back to Africa or be back on the continent and, like, building there and having a place there. And, you know, I just started to think of building as, like, a substitute for the body. So these are some of the ideas I'm thinking about, but there's also something really simple and meditative about, you know, being able to just make brick all day in the studio and have that be a way in which I'm exploring color. And there's something that's very utilitarian about that process of producing, which, again, it's like when you're making clothes too, it's just like there's systems and there's, I don't know, there's something that's a little, I don't want to use the, like, blue collar, but I think there's just something that's real simple about building in that way. And, like, I sometimes when you're trying to make a painting, you know, you're, like, thinking on it, you're sitting on it, you're looking at it, whereas with this new brickwork, I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna, like, make a, you know, like, a brick wall, essentially. I just go in and do it, and you just feel it. So it's another way of working that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear. I mean, there's also the layer of, there's different imagery and in some ways in all of your work, different compositions, of course. The brick wall, as I mean, one way of looking at it, the brickwork has a different feeling, right? Looking at a brick wall, to the viewer on one level, it feels impenetrable, right? We recognize that pattern, we recognize that material. It could speak to, depending on the viewer. I mean, and this is, I'm talking about my interpretation here, that the brick wall also serves potentially as a metaphor, right? Like, what is the brick wall? What does it mean metaphorically? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me, right? Is that part of what you're thinking at all? Because that seems to me like visually a pretty strong narrative and sense. Like, can I move through this? How much can I move through this? Or must I stop right here? I can't go through this kind of thing, which has so many potential meanings in terms of systemic structures like you were talking about that create brick walls as well as our own internal brick walls, so to speak.
I think that's a really good perspective. Like when I make work, my goal is to kind of make it in this timeless way where we can constantly revisit it. What's the relationship between the people who made the first bricks, and the people that dwell in these buildings now? I think of like slaves a lot of the time being like the first black people that were doing masonry, right? Or like you think of how cities were built, and then you also think about the material of the durag, and it's still being kind of directly attached to black history in America. And I'd like everybody to be able to, based off your experience or your level of, knowledge, you kind of take away what you will from it. And it could just be like, oh, this looks like a brick wall. And that's what's able to bring somebody in the space. But I think for me, a lot of those brickworks are also about the process of me making them and being in the studio and slowing down and literally going brick by brick, or in my case, going by like strip by strip.
Yeah, right. It's very process based, right? As opposed to narrative or something else. You're talking about like really the process there, which, as you said before, sounds meditative somehow.
Yeah, I think, and not that other forms of art making for me aren't meditative, but I think I like the correlation, between like me being in my studio and making these brick paintings and kind of having it be this process and this idea of like checking into work or checking into the studio and feeling accomplished in a very direct way. They're not over embellished. It's just brick. It can be finished. A lot of times, my thoughts on art is that it's like never finished, or you can like activate it again. Whereas with these, I kind of have a clear direction when I'm making them, and I think that there's something finite about aesthetically and visually what the brick is doing for me, at least right now, that makes it easier to like just like start and stop and kind of like feel like I'm like accomplishing things, in like a day. And again, you make a print in a day and feel like you did it, but I think it's just how my mind works. Sometimes I need that along with other stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks for sharing that too. There's another one called Celestial Space Jam I wanted to mention, which is close to Celestial Science Fiction and Celestial Picard. But to talk about Space Jam, this is also a pattern that I don't remember seeing in the last show, and it's very beautiful. There's what looks almost like a kind of moving backward and forward of stars, of shapes, of ovals against a black background, but this is a different kind of composition, right? This feels like a slightly different approach, or that's how I'm reading it anyway, that it's a different kind of imagery and composition, but also perhaps something else is happening here too, right? There's a verticality to this one in terms of composition as well.
Yeah, I think in, you know, the past years also, it's like, how do you find a way to push the material? How do you find the way to create different color, to blend color with fabric? And I think that in the works you're talking about, that was also just like leaning back into that practice, but in a more considered way. When I first had that experience where they were, you know, peaking, for lack of better words, it came as like I was stretching the fabric in a stitch split, which then exposed the underpainting. And it's like, okay, well, do I try and fix this thing, or do I accept this happy accident and lean into it? And I went back into the piece with the seam ripper, and I started creating all these kind of like slits. And in this work, it's like, not only are the slits there, but the underpainting is more considered, and there's a range of colors, you know, under it, and they're like layered in this way where you have to start thinking about like, well, what's the underpainting? How is this put together? And I think, you know, revisiting stuff you've done in a more intentional way, like you just, I really leaned into that. So those works are also like really new, but based off of, you know, works I've done like that before, but never in a way where I was like, I'm going to make a series of these. More so just like, you know, I was approaching each piece as its own thing, and like, working on this show, it's like, oh, I really want to do these and explore this deep. I also want to do this. And it's less about, oh, he did this in like 91 to 93. And then he did this from 93 to whatever. It's like, I want to do this now. I also want to explore like landscape works. Now I also want to do these big color blocking pieces now, or gradient works. And I just think that, you know, it's, I don't know, it's like kind of starting again with all the new knowledge, and I feel like I'm also, you know, seeing the work for the first time, like the way I really wanted to see it when I thought about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting, right? Over time, how things changed and how you're seeing the work as well. So, but this was one of the first times you used the seam ripper. Is that the case? Not in this work, but that, is that a something new, showing the kind of so-called underpainting to this?
Not new. It's not new, but it's different, right? Like, I think that artists make a lot of stuff that people don't see, or you put something in a show, but maybe it's in LA or it's in Dubai or wherever, and it's like, not everyone's going to be able to experience it. I think it's the first time I've made the holes like this. It's the first time they've been that big. It's the first time the underpainting has been more colorful, and it's a little more dynamic. So I think also with the material, it's like, how do you make it more dynamic without pushing it too far? And I think even going back to the brick, I had usually worked in columns, and I think the brick was really exciting because it made the composition more dynamic. Like, I could, my eyes moved across it in a way that it didn't with the columns. And the way you get interaction of color when you have like the overlap just did more. And I think also with some of this stuff, it's like, oh, actually it's interesting to explore contrasting colors through the little like eyes through the seam rippers. And it's interesting to look at colors that are monochromatic and there's just different tones with the brick, and you can see the subtle differences. And, you know, I think a lot of the work, which is why now, you know, even after the show, I'm in the studio a bunch, because it's like, oh, I still want to do these experiments. Like, I'm really invested in it. And I got to do some of them in the show, but like, it doesn't stop at the show. And that, I think, is just like an iteration, and it just will hopefully continue to develop in a way that feels natural and not forced, but like can be tracked.
Yeah, so interesting. You know, for the listeners here, I just want to say there's a link to the older interview that we did a few years ago, as well as more images to the show. But I hope listeners can come and see the show before it closes. I want to ask you, which is on October 18th of 2025, I want to ask you one more question before we go. What are you reading at the moment?
So actually, this book isn't out yet, and I've only read the introduction because that's what's out. But it's Transatlantic Disbelonging by my sister, who, you know, in some ways inspired me to kind of like get into art and to have these conversations. And her name's Bimbola Akinbola. And the work or the book focuses on women artists specifically of the Nigerian diaspora kind of negotiating their relationship with, you know, the country and identity around being Nigerian, a Nigerian, especially not necessarily being as present in the physical space. And what does home mean? And what does it mean to be Nigerian or a Nigerian artist? And how do we connect to Nigeria in that concept?
That sounds so interesting. And congratulations to her, of course. And thank you for sharing that. I want to just say before we go, thank you so much for your time and talking to me about your show. I wish the show great success, and I hope all the listeners that can will come visit it or at the very least follow the links to learn more. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.